it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Crossing Crusades here on Loud and Local. Nice to have you guys back in the studio. It's been a while.
Hi, absolutely. Kevin.
Welcome. Hey.
Has been a while.
What, like 5 years? 4 years?
Ooh, maybe.
I think it was 2018. Yep. Okay, so yep. 4 years now. There's been a lot of weird stuff happening since then. Obviously, we got through a pandemic. Some lineup changes for you guys. You guys have all regrouped, and you guys are here hanging out, and you have some new songs to play. So, first off, let's reintroduce you guys. Tell us what your name is and what you do in Crossing Crusades.
I'm Retton, and I play guitar, lead guitar, help with drums, produce. All the good things.
Nice.
Scream.
A little bit of screaming.
I'm Aaron. I do the bass, and that's all I do because that's all that's needed.
Very nice. What's up, everybody? Sam here. I am your other guitar man. I am Retton's right-hand man over there, and also the prettier vocals of the band, helping out Wyatt sound okay. Prettier.
I'm Wyatt Olney, and I'm Oscar the Grouch, and I just scream from a trash can.
Dinosaur noises.
Yeah.
All the dinosaurs. I make dinosaur noises. That is it.
So I guess I got to kind of get this out of the way. Wyatt Olney, obviously you're from Wyatt Olney and the Wreckage. How do you manage, to do Crossing Crusades and Wyatt Olney and the Wreckage? You're a busy fucking guy.
I take zero breaks. Okay. 0 days off. So it's a lot of times where it's a Wreckage show on Friday and a Crossing show on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's helpful to make music with people who are great people.
Yeah.
I get to play in Crossing with literally the kindest human beings on planet Earth, and it makes it fun. It's not a chore. It's plus the fact that there's no gear in this band.
Yeah.
I get to just show up and tear people's heads off on stage. It's a lot of fun.
Nice. That's the biggest reason.
Yeah.
And he drives like the most. He needs to be sponsored by like Shell or Arco.
CFN. He needs a CFN gas card.
I mean, he smashes from South Everett to Tacoma.
Yeah.
56th Street.
I keep blowing up car engines because I commute so much.
So it's not like breaking news that you're the singer, but since the last time I spoke with you guys, Wyatt has joined the band. So I guess what brought you into the band? And how did you guys recruit him? Had you guys been friends with Wyatt?
Somebody else tell my origin
Sam
story.
Sam can definitely tell this story.
Yeah.
We all had a really fantastic show up at Tony V's up in Everett. And mm-hmm. during the show itself, we had there was a lot of things that were going on in the bands. There were a lot of things within both of our bands that just didn't work out as well
sure.
as things did. So all of us kind of took a time to reflect a little bit on both sides. Wyatt had mentioned that he was maybe just kind of taking a little bit of a break for a little bit. So I had hit him up. I said, hey, CC is maybe also looking at doing some restructuring ourselves.
Yeah.
Could you help us out for a couple shows? He's been with us at Radfest at Louis G's, rest in peace, and kind of like sang some songs with us. He knew some things about that. So it was a great thing to have and kind of complimentary as well to have him come up. And then once he got him, it was just like, it was kind of like a high school love, kind of puppy love. He fell in love with who we are, what we're about, how we did it. And we were just kind of able to collaborate really, really constructively and really make something really nice out of it and continue on from there.
Absolutely. And it was one of those things where I came in to do like two or three shows, I think it was. And then it was one rehearsal and I was like, okay, I'm a member of this band. Like instant, like absolute instant brotherhood. Like the best, kindest people I've met who play music on the face of the earth.
We give him lots of hugs, and he needs lots of hugs. So
you know, hugs are good. They keep the sads away.
No, but with Wyatt coming in, it really allowed us to take the gloves off and, like, charge. Like, finally we could write at the speed. Because we're a writing machine. Like, one rehearsal, we can write a whole song. We can get things done. Wyatt's sure. writing lyrics as we're writing riffs, as we're working out drum parts and stuff. We take a five-minute break, come back, mm-hmm. see if it lands again. Like, song done, day.
Yeah.
So...
And his vocals really complement our riffing and the way and style that we write, which is still a nostalgic area. We really hold on to that 2000s metalcore scene. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something that we truly just love, eat, breathe. Like, I still can't step away from certain albums and CDs I have.
What do we got? Like Killswitch sure. Engage?
Oh, we have Killswitch. We have Bullet. We have All That Remains. Yeah. You have All That Remains.
Yeah.
All of those.
Atreyu.
As Are They Dying. Yeah.
Everything.
As Are They Dying, for
like,
sure.
Those Atreyu. Are even on like Spotify stuff. Those are just CDs in the truck that are just being pumped all the time.
In your CD binder.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I got my 32 right there underneath the seat. I flip it every time.
I think that's why more and more with time, like the longer, how long have I been with you guys? Like
three and a half, four years,
something like that. More and more with time, I sing clean less and less because I really like that role of Sam being like the guitar player doing those big clean choruses. Mm-hmm. And I can just be the intense verse guy because As I Lay Dying, Atreyu, that was really like what I grew up latching on to.
Yeah.
So it's really a cool thing. Like, it's creating this nostalgic thing that I feel like I don't experience anymore from new bands coming out, really. Yeah.
Is it difficult for you, or is it pretty easy to differentiate when you're writing for the two different bands? Do you have a totally different feel for each band, and you can tell?
Totally.
Okay.
100%. Like, I know from the first line that gets written down where it's to. And
you're like, this is a Crossing Crusade song. This is a Wyatt Only in the Wreckage song.
Exactly. Well, in Wreckage, I also, before joining Crossing Crusades, I kept trying to force Wreckage to be something heavier than it should be because I love heavy music, and this has also allowed me to keep both things pure.
Yeah, like, this is your heavy outlet.
Yeah. So I don't have to force Wreckage to be this gnarly thing that it really isn't.
Yeah.
And
you guys are like a melodic anthemic.
Let's be honest. You started Wreckage with a cowboy hat and an acoustic guitar.
Yeah exactly.
Let's bring that back.
So some things die hard. And that allows Crossing Crusades to be this entirely different entity where I don't even feel like I sound the same, because I really wanted to push outward of it. Always bummed me out when there was the same singer of two bands and the band sound identical, because the singer sounds exactly like themselves. And so hence, like, with releasing stuff like Captor recently, where I don't sing clean at all on that song, I think that's given people kind of a taste for, like, this is what we're becoming.
Yeah.
And I really, really like that.
Yeah, this is very much a great, almost of a modern day example of, you have Stone Sour and you have Slipknot.
I was just going to say that.
So, like, this is like your modern day example of kind of like, hey, like, same vein, same amazing vocalist to do that. That's you, Wyatt.
Oh, thanks.
And, you know, and it's that much of a differentiation of how what we can do.
Yeah.
Remember that awkward period of time where Stone Sour and Slipknot sounded a little too similar during like All Hope Is Gone and stuff? Yeah. I try and avoid that period of time.
Okay. We would shut you down, as they should too.
Yeah.
So you guys got busy during, you know, the pandemic. You guys, we're going to be playing some songs, but you guys just released Captor, the music video for this. So tell me a little bit about that. It was very Halloween themed, spooky.
So much fun.
Yeah.
We made a slasher movie, which actually I just got to watch in a movie theater.
Nice.
And the whole crowd was super, super into it. Because it played before the premiere of a movie I was seeing. We got Jason Brooks involved, who plays Jason Voorhees in some of the Friday the 13th stuff.
Wow.
And he brought an effects team, and Hemp Films shot this video, and it's almost like a play on Texas Chainsaw Massacre. We all get brutally murdered.
It only cost us 30 grand. It was fine.
The finished product is probably the coolest music video I've ever been a part of. Like, I look at it and I'm just like, dude, it's It's intense. It's super gnarly. Everybody dies real good. I get an axe to the face.
If you're listening to this now, check out the link in the bottom of the description of the podcast and that you're listening to. You'll be able to click on that. So check that out after you listen to this interview.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Did anybody else want to say anything that, fun about
the
it?
The way it came together, we've all been part of different music videos over the years, different bands, all that stuff. It really was like magic in a bottle that day. We shot it in one day.
Nice.
Everybody grinded, did the work.
Yeah.
We were there. We used Sam's properties, got 5 acres, undisclosed location, stalkers. And he's got a big shop, and we took a couple Saturdays before the shoot and set it all up, did the DIY thing, you know, brought the lights, the fog machines, built things. And,
yeah.
And so on day of, like, Jason and his team, they drove from Leavenworth all the way out to Sam's place. And then drove all the way from way down south, all the way up to like Bothell, like all on the same day. And this was like a 12-hour, 13-hour deal. So.
God damn.
Yeah, the shoot I think itself was like 12-13 hours. By the time it's done, we're all soaked.
It was
in
2 a.m. We're in fake blood.
About 12 people take a shower at my house that were just covered in together. Yeah. Blood. Yeah. And it was the stickiest, worst thing of your life.
Whatever food coloring it was.
I washed my hair because spoiler alert, like I have a prosthetic where a brain comes out of my head, so my whole head had to be soaked in blood.
Wow.
So I had to wash my hair 3 times, and I still would like run my hands through it and bleed over everything. It was good.
Nice.
So if you like blood and you like violence, you'll enjoy that music video.
Did you guys have to put like an NSFW kind of thing on that?
We probably should have, but it hasn't been pulled yet.
We thought it was going to be way gorier and more hardcore, and Ryan Healy did a great job of making it artistic and,
Temp films.
The way that the kill scenes were presented and all that was still very like movie-esque without it being just like
wasn't
a straight
too
horror film. Yeah, it wasn't just,
I don't know. There's like a really film? Goopy shot where Aaron gets his arm yanked off.
Nice.
And you see this trail of goop, and it's real rough. So,
it didn't come out of my pants very easy either.
I think for the people who don't really curve towards horror films or that types of movies could appreciate the artistry that happened with that. But then again, people who are also horror fans have been extremely kind and receptive to it.
Nice.
And been like, wow, this is actually something really cool. And someone from their scene, being Jason Brooks, was able to portray this. And I know that he has some kind of under secret stuff. Are we able to talk about what he can do on that?
I know that Jason Brooks is now looking into doing a full length Captor movie. So, based on that music video.
Yeah,
so
based on the character that he actually designed.
I have a meeting with him next week to over some creative assets.
Is that your intellectual property? Will you be getting some residuals from that? Yeah.
One thing I've learned from art is there is no money in anything. So you can say you're getting residuals, but nobody gets it.
Getting
anything.
Residuals of $0 is great.
Oh, it's super dope.
And
it's super dope.
The coolest thing that happened is that we had so much fun with that. And he was so trusting, and we were trusting of him during that whole shoot, that I think the best compliment we got is we got invited to be a part of that, and we can all die again.
There you go.
So I think that's what anyone would want to have on that. Is, hey, we just recreate.
At this point
going.
In my career, like any art anybody wants to make with me, I'm like, can I die in it? They're like, oh, well, it's a song. I'm like, can we find a way to kill me in it? Because death scenes are fun.
Is there something you need to tell us why?
At least it's only
he's
there.
A cat.
Okay. Nine never find me.
And a super shout out to Jason as well. Like the moment he came in, I was scared. He was in character the whole time, super creepy.
Nice.
Yeah. We knew it was real when he had said, okay, huddle up, we have a safety meeting. We said, okay.
All right.
Let's have a safety meeting. Let's talk about the axes. Let's talk about what things can actually hurt you while we're doing stuff. We're like, this is
He was great. He was intense. He moved fast. Like, you know, all the scenes he did. You know, we did a scene where we kick him. Like,
he gets kicked in the chest. Yeah.
So my wife, Allison, was like the captor or the captive. She was the hostage, and
damsel
she kicked him in the stomach and knocked him back, and he's like, do it again, let's do it again.
Yeah, so he's like, all right, let's fucking do it. That's awesome, man. Well, check it out again. The link is in the link is in the description below, so definitely check that out. But you guys are gonna be playing day one of Back to the Locals Fest, which is, let me check here,
November 11th.
Sorry,
with
I had it
10
up.
Miles wide.
Yeah, with 10 miles wide, fake hands, college radio, rather ordinary dudes, otherwise known as Rod. Always naked nice. And Niljbard.
Niljbard. Is that something backwards?
I don't think drop gel. No, I think okay. It's just Niljbard.
Okay.
Niljbard. I don't know. Anyways, again, November 11th, day one of the Back to the Locals Fest up at Tony V's in Everett. Tickets are available at backtothelocalsfest.com. You can get day one, day two, or save some money and get a double day pass.
Heck yeah.
So we're gonna go into a song here, and this is a debut. Are you guys going to be playing these new songs at the show?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah. No, we thought we'd come here with stuff that nobody in the entire world has heard before, aside from like us and our producer.
This is Brent. Have all you guys heard this?
Yes.
Yeah. We have.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Nice. Okay, so tell me a little bit about Fallout, guys. Like, when did you guys record this, and, you know, what's the deal with Fallout?
We did this in the same batch as Captor. So we recorded Captor, Fallout, and then the other song that will be played all in the same weekend.
Last July.
Yeah. Last July. And, it came together really, really easily. It literally was just something happened and a couple folks couldn't show up to rehearsal. So Retton sat and was like, you know, I have this weird tapping riff. I'd love to show it to you. And he and I sat and just set up a recorder in the corner, and I played a second guitar, and basically what that song is took shape right there. Super, super cool, and it's probably the only song that we wrote that's kind of about the pandemic and just kind of the people who – it's kind of about feeling left behind by other folks, like, you know, whether that be – hey, I still want to work on this thing while the world's ending because I need it for my mental health and other folks can't come to the table for it. So I think anybody who's a musician who maybe had to take some time off that they didn't want to take off can probably find some relatability in this one.
All right. Well, it is the worldwide debut. Thanks, guys, for bringing this to me and letting me get this exclusive premiere, man.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. It's Fallout, brand new music by Crossing Crusades, premiered here on Loud and Local.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. you're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Fallout, brand new music by Crossing Crusades here on Loud and Local. Got the guys in studio now. That song, the way you kind of introduced it, why you were talking about how, you know, it goes out to anyone that may have, you know, felt left behind during the pandemic, if they're a musician and they kind of had to take a not so welcome break that they weren't too stoked on. You know, I stayed in pretty good contact with Wyatt during the pandemic, but what kept you guys sane, you know, and talking to the rest of the members here at Crossing Crusades? How'd you guys stay busy? How'd you guys stop from, you know, going crazy? Did you guys work on music? Did you raise your families? Did you work every day? How'd you guys stay sane and stay busy?
Oh, man, they're all looking at me. So I guess I know what everyone's thinking about. So we actually did Zoom meetings, and we were playing games online with each other just to get some...
Yeah,
some other people.
As a band game night.
I was hosting some of those meetings and just, you know, having a good time. Getting to talk to other people was absolutely fantastic. I mean, some of us were, you know, working from home and some of us weren't working at all. It was just kind of a difficult time, but just, you know, at least once a week spending some time together, even though we weren't playing music, you know, just bonding, having some good times. Me destroying everybody is all I remember in those games. You might think of it differently, but
you play with your kids all the time. You get the leg up.
I beat them too, so it's all good.
Aaron doesn't like to lose at anything.
I don't know. What did you guys do?
I had a pandemic baby. I had a corona baby.
Congratulations, Daddy.
She's two now.
Nice.
She's a handful. She's the most wonderful thing. And
I dropped her when she was 6 months old.
Oh, my God. Wyatt dropped her on her head. It was
awesome.
Thanks,
Wyatt.
Yeah.
He's like, wait,
proud
of it. She doesn't walk yet? I'm like, dude, she's like 4 months old. What are you doing?
I went to put her on the ground thinking she'd stand up at 6 months old and then quickly realized 6 months old babies can't stand.
You would think he didn't have a kid of his own with the way he was thinking on that one.
Yeah, right.
He didn't want the baby to be smarter than him, so he dropped her.
Exactly. Got to take her down a couple pegs. And she's already smarter than me.
There you go.
She's amazing.
She's great. She calls them uncle. She'll say Uncle Wyatt, and she'll go Uncle Sam, and she's learning everybody's names. So
nice.
That's pretty awesome.
It is.
Sam, how about you, man?
You know, I'm in the healthcare line of work.
Okay,
so
busy man.
I was at the hospital on site during when everything happened at Tacoma General at TG. So after about 6 months of all kind of that, I kind of said, hey, let's kind of reestablish what we have. A lot of departments got to work from home and work remote. Put in a bid for that, was blessed enough to get that. My wife had already currently been working from home because her company made that earlier executive decision.
Yep.
So once we both were able to work from home and kind of do that thing, get used to how life felt with that, I'm a very hands-on person. So that was a huge struggle for me because I'm very personable. I've worked with my hands. Rhett and I worked with each other for years, warehouses, forklifts, operations, things like that. We decided to just, hey, let's go try and find out what our dream is. So that's when we sold our place in Puyallup, moved south to our property on 5 acres and kind of started just building this area around us where people and our loved ones can come hang out and just have a great time. We got to flip the shop into a huge music video production, whatever you will. So
we
kind of pool table and darts.
Pool table, darts, fire pit inside.
Congratulations.
To do that. So it's cool. So we're hopefully going to have we'll have our own southern festivals hopefully at some point, have some fun music festivals on the outside and
hot tub parties.
Yeah, really piss off all the 60-year-old retirees around us.
Nice. I like it, man. Well, one of the questions that I kind of tended to ask a lot during like a lot of the Zoom interviews that I did, and I probably asked Wyatt this a couple times. So when you're having a crappy day, especially during, you know, the pandemic where every day seemed to be crappy, what's an album you can reach for that can boost you up, whether it's to get the aggression out, to make you smile, any kind of genre, it doesn't matter, but just a go-to album
Artists
you can
in
put
the
on.
Ambulance.
Oh, by Thrice?
Yeah.
Good call.
Gosh dang it, Retton.
I bounce between two, and it's Holy Hell by Architects, or actually, I don't think I talked about this one before, Low Teens by Every Time I Die.
Yeah.
That record, I think Map Change might be the one of the greatest songs to ever exist. I can listen to that song 50 times in a day and not get sick of it.
Wow.
Sorry, Aaron, I'm going to take your backup.
Oh, go ahead. You're going to take my backup?
I'm pretty sure I got your backup right here,
I
too.
Really did enjoy Mammoth, the stuff he was putting out, too, though, yeah. And just following EVH. Him yeah. And his little story. And yeah. I don't know. I like that guy. I think he's cool.
Yeah. So. Wolfgang.
I think for me on mine, it was definitely a lot of story of the year, like Black Swan story of the year.
Okay.
And then I get some of the things like my dad raised me on, which was like all of your great Tom Petty's, again, rest in peace, and the Eagles, and just kind of get to some roots and kind of versus amplify everything in your mind of what's happening. Get to a chiller tempo. Just get to a chiller tempo. Throw on the headphones, mow the yard, get inside of a project.
Yeah. Okay, and just, yet,
I was going to say, this is the least metal yeah. metal guy hey, moment man. Ever in a
I
life.
Was listening to Foreigner Jukebox Hero today.
So, yes, you know, bro. It's a good,
exactly. And how about you, man?
So, I mean, geez, these guys.
Option three.
I'll go to option three, absolutely.
Were you going
to
say story of the year as well?
I was going to get there, absolutely. These guys know me too well. And
22.
Dang it, Sam. I'm going Losing Streak by Less Than Jake,
there you
too.
Go.
Great band, yeah.
I'm a huge Roger fan, so, and have just the vibes just bringing to me. I have met Roger before. It was fangirling up on Roger, okay. Absolutely. Got a signature, pictures, all that good stuff with him. Might have creeped him out a little bit.
Have you ever suggested making a ska song? For Crossing Crusades.
Well, we started with Retton as a ska band when I first started playing.
Oh, yeah, dude. So. Really? We were like, yeah, we had horns and everything, man. Wow. We got down.
Had no idea. Yeah. Damn, dude.
This band has gone through a lot roots. Of morphing.
Yeah.
I like you want to know our original band name?
What was it?
Airwig. All I Really Want Is Girls.
Nice, dude.
We were young.
All I Really Want Is Girls.
They were the
amazing.
Ska band because we are three Federal Way kids.
Yeah.
So they were just 1 year older than I was when we were all graduated. So I had my punk band back then. They had their ska band back then.
What was your band?
It was Mystic Jimmy.
Mystic Jimmy.
that's an awesome
hey,
band.
You were in diapers, Wyatt. You'd be quiet right now.
Yeah, right?
Shout out Mystic Jimmy, Airwig. What was your band back in the day?
Oh God, there were a few.
First one.
There were some.
First one.
I was in an emo band called Miss Midnight back in the day, which was a blatant ripoff of Miss Murder by AFI. I played in a thrash metal band called Deathbeat for years. Yeah. That was awful.
I think you played me some of those tunes.
Yeah.
They were pretty good, actually. They were really good.
It was like weird speed metal that was all at like 240 beats per minute. The drummer did nothing but blast beat the entire time. And for some reason, I thought that was good back then. Yeah, I don't know. I've been in a lot of bands with a lot of really awful names.
That's the best part.
Yeah. I think Crossing Crusades is easily, hands down, the best band name I've ever been a part of.
Better than the one with your name in it, huh?
Oh, by far. That's like my least favorite thing. I hate that so much. I've begged for years. Can we change that? No, we've come too far.
Yeah.
I hate it. So I'm so glad that this. If you wanted this band to be Retton Steincipher and the Crossing Crusades, I'd be into God. It. I'd be into it.
That's challenge everybody to spell it.
Yeah. Uncle Sam and the
whole marquee.
And the Crossing Crusades.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like it.
Well, I call it Tossing Toupees. That's my favorite.
Nice, dude.
When you go back to like the Rolling Stones, and their original band name was Little Blue, or was. Little Blue and the Little Blue Boys. It was something like that.
Little Blue and the Little Blue Boys.
Yeah, it was
Boys.
Something crazy like
that. Q Blue by Eiffel 65 in the background. Yes.
So I noticed you're wearing an Aftershock shirt. Is that Aftershock Festival?
Yeah, that was from this year.
Did you go?
Yeah, Aaron and I went. So we took the first time we popped their cherry. This was our second year. We did our Friday and Saturday shows.
Nice,
there,
dude.
Which was epic. It was so fun.
Who was your favorite that you saw?
Yeah, who was it? Who all? Kiss, right?
So Kiss headlined one of the nights. I could turn around and just read you the shirt, too, and you can see everything.
Okay.
There, which
all
is
right.
Great. So we got it. So our Friday night, Kiss headlined. Before them was... let's just read out the shirt.
It was like Papa Roar
and Lamb of God played at the same time. We sat in between both of those stages, which was super
so read
fun.
It off,
Ray. At Danzig, Lamb of God,
Chevelle, Fallen in Reverse... Meshuggah, Clutch, Motionless and White,
Shout out Motionless and White.
Motionless and White killed it.
Apocalypta. I haven't seen those guys in forever. Jeez.
Unpopular opinion, Motionless and White makes the best choruses of any heavy band on the planet right now.
Crossface, Set It Off, sing-alongs. Wargasm. I haven't checked those guys out yet. Mike's Dead, bunch of
so that was more of the metal.
And Kiss Saturday, and Slipknot.
And
nice.
Then Saturday came, and then Saturday was a little bit more of your emo night.
My Chemical Romance.
That was My Chemical Romance took over.
I saw some clips. That looked really fun.
It was huge, and I'll send you some pictures, too, of the night itself. But it was
hot
amazing.
Hot and dusty.
Hot and dusty. We all wore bandanas around our faces to keep the
dust
the
out.
Sacramento crud out of us.
Nice.
But Papa Roach, being that was a homecoming show for them, mm-hmm. and they told Aftershock, like, we will not play here again. And they didn't play since, like, 2012.
Wow.
Like, they were like, unless you give us a headlining spot, we, you know, then we'll come down. Not flex them, but being like, this means a lot to us.
Yeah.
And it means a lot to our people and our culture from that area.
Mm-hmm.
And they absolutely blew it away. They sounded album tight, and there was not one pre-recorded anything piping for those speakers. They just annihilated it. So
that's really impressive.
It was really impressive. Really impressive.
And I saw My Chem like a week before Aftershock up here. Easily the best show I've ever seen in my life.
Were they at Tacoma?
Yeah, which is the worst venue ever. But like, truthfully, like I've seen probably 1,000 shows. That's still, I think, the most like monumental thing I've ever seen. But I realize that's also probably because I never thought I'd get to see my favorite band again. So them coming back, it was just perfect.
Right.
Nice. So perfect.
There's a lot of MCR kids there. Of different generations, too. Saw a lot of younger kids that I wouldn't think, like a 14 or 15 year old, mm-hmm. was like, hey, man. But I guess a lot of people looking at me like, hey, man, you come here to see Kiss?
Right.
Like, hey, man.
Hey, Dad.
Chill. Yeah. Chill,
same
man.
Age as Kiss?
I felt like the oldest guy in the MCR pit. I like
you were.
Yeah, I looked around.
You cried before everybody. I know you did.
Oh, and I cried in front of everybody. It was great.
Nice.
But I was literally like, I looked around and I realized the sea of people around me were all like a foot and a half shorter than me. I was like, oh, I have the best view in the world. I'm not having to look around anybody.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking again with Crossing Crusades here on Loud and Local, and they're going to be playing Back to the Locals Fest day one, and tickets are available now at backtothelocalsfest.com. November 11th at Tony V's in Everett. It's an all-ages show, which is something that, you know, I was talking a little bit with Taylor, who books Back to the Locals Fest, and he was talking about how important it is to have this as a all ages show, because there's 20 high schools around Snohomish that all kind of come together in like the Everett music scene. I had no idea that it was like 20 high schools up in that area. So that's why it's important to keep all ages music alive up there in the Snohomish. So.
Absolutely, and you know I'll say it until I'm blue in the face. Like Tony V's Garage is the best music venue in Washington. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, there are bigger and more historic rooms here, but that room is special and everybody's welcome, and the best shows you will ever see are in that room.
Nice.
It's spectacular.
And then all those kids get something to look forward to in the next 5 years when they turn 21, and then they get to come back around.
There you go.
Get your stuff together to come back around.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And also, as something that Taylor mentioned, is there's actually a way for you to submit for your band to possibly be considered for the next Back to the Locals Fest.
Nice.
At backtothelocalsfest.com. The submission goes immediately to his phone, and he can check out your band. And if he doesn't get back to you, he hates you. I'm just kidding.
That's fair.
I'm just kidding. I'm just.
Why did he get back to us?
I would love for Taylor to just send out texts to people and be like, bruh, it doesn't slap.
He's going to hate
that. It would be so good.
So you guys have these songs that you're debuting here on Loud and Local. You know, what's this? Is this leading up to an EP or these three songs? Or is it just kind of, you know, the singles drop as they drop? Is there a quote-unquote rollout, or is there an album?
You know, I struggle with this all the time because I am a full album guy, but sure. I realize that industry-wise, we're getting away from full albums, and even at that point, full albums are more of like a rock and roll band thing. Mm-hmm. For like a metalcore heavy band, like, I think the goal is everybody's just going to stream the full album anyway. Sure. Why make them wait for a full rollout? Like, let's drop it as they go. And have fun
YouTube
with
era, you know, the Jared Dines and the Architects, you know, single video.
Yeah, and I'm sure eventually we'll like do a collection. Because I mean, we released an EP in 2020 called Breathe New Life. That was four tunes. And now this is kind of the next set of three.
Yeah.
I figure when there's another set of three, we'll just put out the box set.
There you go.
Yeah. And it's kind of tough to gauge as the writing portrays itself. Like we said, we're still, it feels like we're kind of starting back over and kind of getting that momentum pull just because everything is back and open. Lives have kind of gotten regrained and we've found our groove again as far as what we can do to come back over into it. But kind of doing the whole EP thing is kind of a nice way because a lot of ways that bands write their records are, they, you kind of have a similarity that's happening. You kind of have a theme that's kind of molding through, and we don't feel like we have to have that. We feel like, hey, whatever the energy is, what the feeling is, what the groove is, we're just, let's just roll with it. And if we feel it's a strong enough candidate to throw on a, on something to share with the world, then we're just going to do it that way and pump it through. So we don't really have to have like a, this is the plan the whole way. It's like, no, man, this just hits a different way. This will captivate somebody at some place and they can add it to their, as White likes to say, the soundtrack of their life of that time.
There you go.
Bring that season in.
And with the pandemic and all that stuff, time together as a whole was way more sparse. So you have one person writing lyrics on their own, or you have one person writing riffs, you know. And, you know, I think I probably have 7 or 8 songs worth of riffs. Sam has 7 or 8 songs worth of riffs. Wyatt's bringing demos to the group, too. So now we have to, like, pick things out of the hat and like, okay, well, which one goes on next?
It's a nice problem to have, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is a nice problem to have, but it's a balancing act. And then when we all get together, it's like, okay, we have a show. Well, we got to get tight for a set. Or do we spend this time, you know, flushing out one of these cool ideas?
Yeah.
So the balance is tricky, especially when you have a 5-person band. You know, when you're a 3-piece, you crank stuff out. It's like, okay, we're going here. You have one voice kind of thing. And we are a writing machine, so we have a whiteboard with 28, 29 different things on the board. And
we slowly kill them off.
Yeah, we slowly, you know, and that's the thing too, is I write from a style of what is it making the crowd do? Is this a jump song? Is this a head bobbing song? Is this a, you know, pump your fist type of thing? Wyatt comes in with the storytelling. Sam has the most creative brain. That he's a wizard when he's writing things and creating riffs, and he's like, well, you know, this would work, and do this and do that. And we're like, oh my God, that's amazing. So when we get in the room as a 5-piece, like, magic really does happen.
That's the awesome. Rehearsals are violent. They're really, it's so funny because, like, this is the happiest group of musicians on the planet and it's all smiles. Get us on stage and things get really, like, violent and visceral very quickly.
It's because we're really not playing like in an 8x8 room like we do for rehearsal.
Yeah.
We spread our wings, so like, it makes it really
nice. All of a sudden, they're like tossing their guitars to each other in the air and, you know, people are breaking their faces. It's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
So these new songs, you know, you kind of mentioned that you guys had to regroup and everything, and you put these three songs together. Was there a different approach? Was there a different energy? How would you describe, like, coming back? You know, was there anything different, or did it just feel like getting back on a bike?
I mean, I don't know if it felt that different. It was definitely a bit recharged, 'cause there were some, I mean, I took some time away where I just had to focus on the wreckage machine, putting out stuff during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So there was a bit of a lull there. And then when we snapped back together and that fire hit again, it moved real quick from there into studio. I sound a lot meaner on these, I think, than the first batch. I don't know. I was working some stuff out or something. But.
Well, our sound, I mean, years go on. You know, Wyatt's been with us almost 4 years now. Yeah. And so we just evolve naturally, and we're kind of leaning forward. We're getting a little more technical, a little more edgy, you know, BPMs go up a little bit, a little more growling, screaming. So I think things just evolve naturally. So when you write one song, you're like, well, let's outdo that.
Yeah.
Let's go a little harder on that one.
Yeah, and the plan for the next thing is we're going to just hire a bunch of guys to hit, you know, trash cans and kegs with baseball bats.
There you go.
On the downbeats. It's going to be real good.
Nice. Throw blood on the crowd.
Yeah. Do the Watain thing, like just straight up bring out goat's heads.
There you go. Super black metal.
Yes.
So again, day one of Back to the Locals Fest is where you can catch Crossing Crusades if you like the songs, the brand new songs. And that's going to be November 11th at Tony V's in Everett. Go to backtothelocalsfest.com to get tickets. Where can people follow you guys if they can't, you know, necessarily make it out to a show? They got, you know, they're busy or something like that. How do people follow along with you and support?
Spotify, Facebook, just find us anywhere. We've got merch online, like anywhere. YouTube. That go talk some smack in the comments on Captor. Tell us how weak our wrists
are. Check out Captor link in the description.
And these other two will drop at some point soon. We got to figure out a way to top Captor now, which is quite the challenge.
Possible prequel. We'll talk about
it. Now you have to actually kill each other.
Yeah, right? Oh,
jeez. Just maim and delim.
Yes. My poor mother is always like, you know, I'm so glad you put out some new music, but I'm really tired of watching you die.
Yes. Damn. Not safe for mom.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, mom, I have a little part in a movie. Do you die? Yes, I do.
NSFM. Not safe for mom.
Yes.
There will be Teletubbies in our next video.
Nice.
Dude, we so should.
Yeah.
We so should.
And we'll kill them.
We have a new song here, Into the Fire. Wyatt, what's this? What's the intro you need to tell us about?
Oh, I was just going to say, I love this song. Rutten had brought some riffs to the table. Halfway through this song, it goes from this more like triplety, like 3 inches of blood vibe song into this like deathcore oblivion for the rest of the song. But Sam had brought this cool riff to the table, and I passionately wanted during this little dropout to have a bleh. Because I grew up loving blah.
The one argument in the studio where the blah went.
Oh, we got heated. It was great. It's the one fight this band has ever had in the studio. And it's because I passionately wanted to blah. And they hated it. And
can
the
you
producer
do a blah right now?
Not even in the moment.
But it was a really, it was, the thing that threw us off is because it was such a high pitch. It was like, bah! It was like that, and that's what he wanted.
I couldn't get it right, because everybody was like, okay, if you want to track it, that'll be fine. So instead of giving it the, like, bleh, I gave it kind of like a, bleh. And it just...
So we did it, and it's time for my vocals. He goes out, Don Gunn turns around and said, you can delete that part. He's like, yep. And he goes back, and he just scratched. He went out for a cigarette. He left the room, looked back, and said, delete whatever he just did.
And then when I got a mix, there was no blah, and I was like, you know what? That was probably for the best.
So it's not in here.
There's no blah.
No blah.
There's no blah.
You can add your own if you want.
That's the name of the song. No blah.
No blah. I tracked like 6 blahs and I couldn't get it right. I was like, maybe if I layer it.
You need to get Jamie from Hatebreed in here, man.
Dude. Yeah, right? It was one of those moments. I do get to make a whole lot of dinosaur noises in the second half of the song.
There we go.
So, Hatebreed, they're coming next month.
They are. Gate Creeper and Dying Wish. Yep. Good show.
Ooh.
No, but into the Fire specifically, I mean, just on a, I know we were talked about influences and albums that got us through, you know, the pandemic area and stuff, but I truly feel that out of these three, Into the Fire has a more collective, a overall collective collaboration of so many influences. It really has so many different takes from, like you said, 3 inches of blood. Maiden, Under Oath, a lot of those really big, like you just kind of continuously go, and you can actually probably pinpoint, like they clearly listen to these five bands a lot.
Sure.
It's the sampler platter of
riffs. It's a sampler platter, 100%, and that's what it is, and that was really fun to do, because
awesome.
It's great to pay homage to those people without ripping anyone off. Paying homage and ripping someone off, obviously completely
totally different,
two different tables, but then again, it just gets to show the area of music that we just love, that we want to keep alive.
Totally.
You know, to keep it going. So that's what makes that song specifically very special and very fun.
However, I hate it because there's no bleh.
Ah, perfect. Into the Fire, brand new music by Crossing Crusades. Come check them out. Day one of Back to the Locals Fest, November 11th. Excuse me, get your tickets at backtothelocalsfest.com. Check them out on Spotify, on YouTube. Click like on Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. And check out Captor Video. And get spooky with them. Thanks, guys, for coming in.
Thank you.
Love you, buddy.
So much.
Yeah, it's nice to have you guys back in the studio. It's a totally different thing. Zoom is fine. Zoom is cool. It got us through.
This is the
but
best.
It's the best to actually have.
No, we're here. The listeners can't tell that we're all actively cuddling right now.
Yes, exactly. We're actually...
Kevin's tickling my tootsies.
Yes, it's... Cuffing season.
Sitting on my lap.
Cuffing season.
It's cuffing season, baby.
Into the Fire, it's Crossing Crusades. Brand new music, a world premiere here on Loud and Local.
Coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.